AMAC Citizens Involvement Committee meeting. As most of you know, AMAC is the Metropolitan Planning Organization for Summit Portage and a little bit of Wayne County. I am Curtis Baker. I am the director of AMAC. And if we just want to go through the room or go around the room and introduce yourselves, starting with Catherine.
I'm Catherine Manning. I'm the director of planning for PARTA.
I'm Carlo Howard. I'm the travel trainer for PARTA.
Bill Mackey, a CIC member from back when we forged canoes back and forth.
Harrison Wicks, city of Penn.
Dave Mangold, CIC member, resident of Portage County, Randolph Township.
Tara Finance, AMATS.
Jeff Gardner, AMATS.
Heather Bridal, AMATS.
All right. So today in our agenda, basically we had a quick, well, a discussion of our June meetings, what we're talking about, which actually isn't that much. And then we will have a quick briefing on what we've been doing with our population forecast. Louisa Kreider from our staff put something together. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here today, so I'm going to fill in. And then we'll hand it over to PARTA, Catherine and Carlel, for them to talk a little bit about the DART system and travel training. After that, it's the open discussion, and our anticipated adjournment is no later than 7:45, Mr. Van.
So I'm just going to stay till 8:30.
But with that, to get started, there are meeting packets, and the meeting packets are ones that we distribute to our technical advisory committee as well as our policy committee. Really, the two big items are both amendments. The first amendment is mostly highway projects. It includes about, I believe, six projects. Is that, trying to get to it. Six projects that are new funding, and then adds or revises funding to two existing projects. With the six new projects, these are projects that were awarded funding when we did our round of funding back in, approved it back in January. However, these now are being put into our transportation improvement program. So the Portage Hike and Bike Relocation, which is in Franklin Township, near, off of, I believe, what is it, Ravenna Road over there. It's taking an old railway bridge and turning it into a bikeway bridge, because right now, the actual portage has to maneuver through a parking lot and then weave around on road. And so this is to eliminate that. Cleveland-Massillon is a widening project. Graham Road is a resurfacing. State Route 91, there's going to be sidewalks pretty much north of Fish Creek, almost to the city border with Hudson. Sanitarium Road, which is in really bad shape, if anyone's familiar with Lakemore, they're starting the first phase of resurfacing. It's actually the first project Lakemore has ever received AMAC funding, so we're pretty pleased with that. And then State Route 91 in Hudson. Hudson got a highway safety grant, which allows them to put a center turn lane in on State Route 91 from about, I believe it's Barlow. Yeah, Barlow almost to Veterans Way. They're also going to be adding bike lanes and some other additional infrastructure. We did revise two projects. One of them is Cleveland-Massillon Road, which is just kind of moving some funding around, as well as State Route 91, US 224, and Canton Road. And really, that's kind of the major changes in the in that item. Are there any questions about any of those projects? Mr. Mangold.
The Erie Railroad Bridge, the bike and trail relocation item number one of the six new projects, $353,000. Now that bridge is coming up on, I'm thinking, it's 100 year plus or minus useful life. That is not a complete bridge rebuild. That's just relocating the trail.
Yes.
I have serious reservations about spending that kind of money on a structure that the railroad may very well need to completely replace. Is the policy committee going to have any chance to discuss this or hear my comments before that money is spent, or is that already allocated?
It's already been allocated. This is putting it on our TIP, so I suppose that they could refuse to amend the TIP to add it, but it has been approved for funding.
I have no problem with spending the money for the trail improvement, but I have serious reservations about that kind of money being spent on something that might need to be rebuilt. Could someone contact the Wheeling and Lake Erie Railroad and see what their long-term plans are for that bridge?
Well, I believe that what happened was that originally the request was $140,000, and after being in touch with the railroad, they looking at how they had to do some engineering that had been unanticipated for the bridge, that was the number that they then came to.
So this may include some structural improvements.
Yeah, it's not a complete rebuild.
Right,
sure.
Understood. Because yeah. That would be probably twice that or
right,
more.
Right, right.
Not to say it isn't needed.
Is it still going to be a railroad bridge and a pedestrian pathway?
That's my understanding.
I didn't get that from reading. It sounded like we had the bridge and we're just going to overtop it.
It's going to be right next to it. And actually, we did have it. Yeah, I don't have it.
I know. Can you do Google? Do they have internet?
Yeah.
Google Maps. Yeah, it's right next to Towner's Woods. Get a chance to go up there. You can see it. I always thought that was kind of strange to force to go across that narrow, dangerous road. I scraped the side of that guardrail once when I misjudged my distance. Very narrow road. Both structures, the whole area needs to be completely redesigned, in my opinion. But, okay, if that includes structural improvements to the bridge and perhaps the embankment, such that we push off the complete replacement for a couple of decades, then I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, and that's... I shouldn't say I'm assuming that because, you know, it could always come out not true, but my understanding is the reason that we even had to add money to it was because of discussions that the Parks District was having with the railroad about what they needed. So,
okay. If I get a chance, I'll speak with Chris.
Yeah, and I mean, she would definitely have... Yeah.
The railroad, do we still have a railroad representative on AMATS yet?
They have a placeholder, but we don't have a representative.
Well, I'll be acting, but not official. I'll try to keep in touch there. I know the people at the Wheeling, but if Chris has already been in touch with them, that's great.
Yes. And then for the second amendment item, Jeff, I don't know if you want to speak on that one since that was
I can. It's
yours.
TIP amendment for PARTA. PARTA was awarded funds through U.S. DOT, through the Federal Transit Administration, for about $2.7 million. To upgrade an existing project, which is not under construction yet, but it will be next year. So the project is for a bus storage garage to meet compressed natural gas vehicle standards. So the grand total for the project will be $4 million, and that'll be programmed into next year, fiscal year 2019, which actually starts in about 3 weeks. So new fiscal year. New project. Nice award to PARTA.
Anybody have any questions about that? PARTA swimming pool. All right, with that, I'll move on to the brief presentation. So as some of you know, as we do our long-range planning for the transportation outlook, we are now up to 2045. And one of the things that we have to do when we start our 2045 planning process is look at our variables in terms of our socioeconomic population variables and get an idea of a forecast for those out to the horizon year 2045. And the purpose of this menu was to kind of, the purpose of this presentation was to include our policy committee and our technical advisory committee on the discussion, let them know how we were moving forward with this. The forecast is not completed, but basically what we're doing is looking at levels of growth or decline at a sub-area data, and then this information goes into our model that will, as we develop the plan and we model recommendations, we see how those impact things. So previously we'd used back when there was really high growth and when there was, I guess if you were in Austin today, you probably could take a regular linear regression and just shoot straight out and say, hey, we're going to keep growing. We've used models like that in the past. We've used an exponential form of growth. And basically what you can see is it kind of The way we've done things in the past, it obviously, it makes some sense, especially when you're growing, to maybe have a linear regression. But in our two counties, especially in Summit County, if we kind of continued the trend of the last 50 years, like eventually we'd be at population zero. And so that's not really realistic. We started looking at ways to soften that, as well as sort of looking at different ways that curves happen. And what we settled on for this model was more of a logarithmic model, which basically I think is an overall smoothing of either growth or decline. And so I think the benefit of this is that it sort of results in a more gradual change. And and that works really well for a lot of our communities, which are now pretty much stabilized. So, what we've tried to do is find sort of a best fit for what we kind of anticipate happening here with our population. So, basically, though, we did look at different data sets, and that was one of the challenges, was figuring out which data set works best for which area. Portage County, when I was talking about linear regressions, Portage County actually almost could be a linear regression. If you look at it since about 1950, it's added between, probably 5,000 to 7,000 people per decade, and has continued to do so. And based on census estimates, we still anticipate it continuing to do so. And so what we used as the data set for that was the census data from 1960 to 2010. And feel like that sort of the numbers that gets you from a growth rate perspective seems more accurate than when you look at the census estimates. One of the issues with census estimates with Portage County is the way that it aggregates the township areas. It sometimes misses township growth in Portage County, and so we've always been a little leery of that. Summit County and Wayne County, we actually felt that it made more sense for it to sort of follow the census estimates as they're more established communities. And the only one that we didn't use that data set for was Green. Green, we use census data, again, because it has more of a linear progression. So what we're looking at from a forecast, currently we're about 722,000 people in our region. We're projecting about a 2.37% growth. About almost 740,000 people in 2045. Most of that is really buoyed by Portage County, which we see having about a 9.8% growth versus really just a stable Summit County and a little bit of growth in Wayne. The charts here show sort of the data set versus the logarithmic growth line and projection, kind of how we sort of anticipate when we adjust the data versus the trend line. What we actually see. By sub-area in Portage County, we've got 6% in the northwest, 10% or 11, almost 11% in the southwest, and then we've kind of got some higher numbers in the east side of Portage County, at least from a percentage perspective. While the percentage is high based on the numbers, I think that the percentages are sort of overblown because the raw data and the eastern part of Portage County, obviously you're talking about a much smaller population. The bulk of the population resides up in the western part of the counties. In Summit County, if you see kind of our sub-areas in the different communities, we expect to see growth in the north and the south. Akron is expected to lose about 2% of its population. Same with Cuyahoga Falls and Barberton, with sort of the bookends of the central city seeing a little bit of growth. And really, that's where we are right now. We've provided all that data to our members, asked them to review it, asked them to give us feedback. Really, I think, and like I said, Louisa is the one that's done this and has already answered some questions. I think what it shows in a big picture is that basically Summit County, we don't anticipate any. I think in Portage County, we do think that growth would be fairly robust. We do think most of that growth is occurring on the western side, especially in Aurora, Streetsboro, Brimfield. As any of you that are familiar with the Brimfield area, I've seen houses going up. And really, too, though, we do anticipate some of the central cities decline to slow down. So I think that was the other thing from this, is that while we show Akron losing about 2%, actually, in their latest census account for, I believe it was 2016, the estimate actually had them flatlining and slightly increasing their population, which they haven't seen on a census estimate for a long time. Now, if that ends up being accurate, we won't know until the 2020 census. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I am not the subject matter expert on this, but wanted to bring it to your attention and kind of let you know what we think some of the population trends are.
Question on our census. Did a census in Cuyahoga Falls. You go and knock on the doors of homes and or apartments, but you don't knock on doors of businesses and fast food places and car dealerships and stuff like that. So you're really getting a population count for the, I'll say the housing area, whether it's a home or an apartment complex, because
right.
everything else is, nobody lives there. They work there, they don't live there. So I'm thinking of the northeast corner of Portage County on there. There's a big chunk of land for the Ravenna Arsenal taken out of that area. So when you're saying 13-14% for northeast Portage County, you're really saying it's for only part of that northeast area.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it's vacant. I mean, from an area perspective.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So for planning purposes, you're going to have to put 14% more housing units in the area that's allowed to have housing there.
Right.
Which may affect busing and everything right. else. I mean, how are you going to service it?
Right. And I'm not exactly sure 100% what the population is out there,
yeah.
but I'm thinking total it's between 5 and 7,000 maybe, roughly. You're thinking about Windham and Garrettsville and some of the rural. So, yes, you're absolutely yeah, and I mean, really, the purpose of the population, really, when you think about it, is it ends up being households and trips, and it's sort of where the origin is of that trip, or so where we know where people are living.
Derived.
Right, and then, you know, into the model comes external values, too, from different counties that ODOT helps us estimate to kind of bring in. So we still kind of know the model, I should say, projects a work day, like a level of traffic that's equivalent to what we have. But, yeah, we don't necessarily census how many people are in this, I think it's what, I think Fairlawn says, that they have 8,000 people or whatever, but, during the work day they have 35,000.
So Louisa is a city employee, not AMATS?
No, she's an AMATS employee.
She is AMATS,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
she was hired in February.
Can this be finished after the 2020? But it's not like we get the census data in 2020.
No, we don't. And that's what we're still using. Yeah, we're the reality for this plan is because it needs to be approved in 2021 that, we've got to do this based on old data. I mean, for lack of a better word, older data.
Yeah.
And we run into that problem every two or three planning cycles. And, the comfort is, hey, we're going to do it again in 4 years. So, the minute we get the new census data, we begin the update.
Let's see what the trends really are. So we'll just make a forecast for now. Short term and long term, I think fuel prices are going to have an effect, and transportation options are going to also have an effect. If we truly build out our mass transit and eventually build the commuter rail, like I think should exist in northern Portage County, I think that could change the dynamics a lot. And hasn't the city of Akron, the downtown population, been growing? But that doesn't get picked up in the data because it's looking at the whole city.
Yeah, and I think the city, in the data, the city's being kind of kept afloat by in-migration, essentially, or a refugee population, I think is what the census estimates are grabbing onto, because I think they look at birth, death, in, out, and then I think they also add in housing starts, I believe, or, there's a building component part for the estimates. But yeah, the true thing will be is that when they do the counts in 2020, how many people are living downtown, how many new homes have been built, how many people are living.
And in which months are the census usually done? Because every January through May, and then again late August through December, the population around the university greatly increases. Do those students get counted in that, as even though they're not year-round residents?
And I wish I was a better expert at this, but I know that also there's, you know, the difference between group quarters and census population, and depending on where someone, you know, where someone lives at a certain time, whether they're in a dorm, they might be classified as a group quarters and be that way and not actually be a resident of that area.
Are they going to get counted back at
home? Right, they get counted back at home, and then there are those that actually rent, and they're officially counted in the population.
Should be counted twice.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I mean, going to just state census data collection, and it is an issue, and I think there have even been some articles about it, how, you know, our current administrations, and, you know, I think even before the current administration, but, you know, the census always, the articles come out, they don't have enough money to do the census, no one's sending money, you know. But I remember there were a couple of communities in the 2010 census that disputed their numbers, said that, you know, they didn't count enough people because they didn't do a good enough job getting to people that are, you know, would be classified as transient or renters, and so that's always a challenge with the census.
Cuyahoga Falls, I think, appealed their back in 2000.
Yeah, they wanted to say they were over 50,000 when it was 49,500.
Yeah, they wanted their own MPO.
Yeah,
they have not broken that 50,000 threshold yet. I don't know if they're going to do it or not. Any other questions? Well, then, what I'd like to do now is introduce Catherine and Carlisle. And they are going to talk about PARTA. And I will open this up. I have not been using Flickr, though, so.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm using the mouse, the poor man's method, but, you know, if you want to find it when you get up there.
Changes that are happening here at PARTA. Some of you might be familiar with, we offer something unique in Portage County, which is our Dial-Ride service. And this is a little bit unique because we offer Dial-Ride to everybody in the county, regardless whether or not you have a disability, or if you are a senior, or so it's available to anybody in the county, regardless of need. And this is unique. We're probably one of the only transit agencies in the state who offers this. It makes it a true countywide service. It's probably 50% of our service. It's a door-to-door service. So we take a look at this because it's also a very expensive service to offer. So we took a look and did a service evaluation in 2017, and we wanted to make sure that this service was continued to be sustainable and resilient. So a little bit of the history of our DART service. It's called Dial-A-Ride. Sometimes we call it DART. It's called Demand Response. In transit, we like to have a lot of lingo. So it began in the mid-90s. We were able to expand it in 2002 when we passed our first countywide levy in 2017. It was our 15th year of sales tax support, and that is the majority of how we're able to support this service. We currently, every year, do about 100,000 trips. So, like I said, a little bit about Dial-Ride. It's not our fixed route system, so this is the small buses as you see up here. Not the large buses that you see going up and down the street. This is not the same thing as ADA. So when we talk about our ADA system, that's only people who have disabilities who were required to transport within 3/4 of a mile of our fixed route. So this is a specialized service that we provide for anybody in the county who just needs to get from one point to another. If they want to go to the doctors, if they want to get their hair cut, if they want to go to the bowling alley, if you want to go anywhere you can think of, we will take you there on our Dial-Ride service. although it's not a taxi service. It does sound like it, but it's not.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? It's a shared ride service, for one thing. So you have to call and book 1 to 3 days in advance. You have to share your ride with somebody else. It's still public transit. So it's not the same as just calling Uber. You can't just get on your cell phone and beep, boop, beep, boop, we're going to be there at your leisure. It's not that simple. It would be really cool if we were. Probably a lot more people would use us, but it would be way more expensive.
Catherine, on the ADA, can those pick up people ADA? Can it do dual service while it's riding?
We do run dial ride and ADA concurrently.
Okay. Yeah.
So ADA people will ride on our dial ride service.
Okay.
So dial ride characteristics, again, so it operates in defined areas during advertised hours, so that's the other thing. So we only run certain days of the week with limited hours. You have to register to use this service. We do have contracts with other agencies. So
define that. Contract with agencies, what are you talking about?
Like, contracts with agencies?
Yeah, which agencies? Like going to
Jobs
the hospital?
And Family Services.
Right.
We have a contract with UH. We have a contract with Pullman. We also do contract service with the DD Board. So those are all contracts
okay.
that we have.
Thank you.
And again, the shared ride service to pick up a drop off. Unfortunately, DART has been losing revenue and sales tax dollars over the years, so funding has been an issue. We had some very large contracts with the DD board, especially back in 2007. The way that the state has changed some of the regulations and some of our other contracts, we've been losing revenue dramatically. People think when they pay like $2 to get on the bus, they're like, man, that's how you're really going to make your money. It's not really how we make our money. It costs $34 for one ride on demand response. It costs way more money to do these trips than to do a large bus. So we've not increased our fare since the very, very, very beginning of starting the service, ever. So, of course, you know, we had this put together with the value of a dollar versus back in 1998 till now. I'm sure all of you can think about how much cheaper things were back then. Just stamps or gas or, and actually 262 is low for today. I mean,
yeah, I'll go there for a fill up.
A few years ago, I mean, you could get it for, it was like $4. Movie tickets are like insane price now. I mean, everybody should just be watching Netflix. So we are proposing a redesign. We went through a whole public meeting process. We got input from our customers, and we are promoting. We are now, as of July 1st, going to be doing a redesign of our system. And this is like the boilerplate world card. So we're going to be, one, flattening out our service. So we're going to take all the hours that we have. We used to have them kind of all like a big hill in the middle. So when the busiest times were, we had all the buses at those times. And we're going to be flattening out our service to be able to extend the number of hours that we run during the day. We're going to be adding Saturday service, which people have been asking for a long time. We're going to be adjusting our fares for inflation, and we're going to be transitioning people who can use our fixed route service over to using that fixed route service. So you can see we're going to start running Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., which is a big change for us because we were 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., right? I can never remember our third hours, and we did not have any Saturday service. You can see we're still running what we see the corridors. So right now, if you live in the Northeast, you can only get Monday and Wednesday service. The Southeast is Tuesday and Thursday service, and the West is Monday through Saturday. So that remains the same. The utilization of fixed route service. So anybody who lives within 0.3 miles of a fixed road, and has a, is going to be picked up and dropped off within that same 0.3 miles of a fixed route, is no longer eligible to use fixed route, to use the DART service. Now, if you have a trip that's outside that 0.3 mile corridor, if you want to get picked up at Streetsboro and dropped off within the 0.3 mile, or if you're going, you're traveling out to Palmyra and you need to get dropped off out there, you can still use the DART service. This does not affect you if you're ADA. If you're disabled, this is not, does not affect you. If you're in a wheelchair, or if you can't walk 0.3 miles and you're an ADA customer, we're not going to be asking you to use the fixed route service. You should be registering ADA. But this is really getting people to use the fixed route service. We're also increasing the DART fare. General public currently pays $4. We're now moving this up to $6. Reduced fare is going from $2 to $3. We're also encouraging people to take advantage of the contracts that are out there. Jobs and Family Services has a contract that is available to anybody who's on Medicaid. If you need to get to a doctor's appointment, a dental appointment, a counseling appointment, and you are on Medicaid, you can get free transportation with them in this county or any adjacent county for free. You just need to call them, and we have that information available. So we are trying to get that information out there. They're encouraging us to do that because that is a state pass-through for them. That doesn't cost them additional money. The DD board, individuals who have a waiver can get free transportation too. And our ticket prices for ticket books are moving up as well. So as you can see, available clients.
Catherine, what do you anticipate of the changes being the biggest either revenue driver or cost reduction? Do you think it's the just the raising the rates, or is it
raising
more
the
DART service or the 0.3 miles? Or
well, we've moved the contract. We've been more aggressive with the contracts. Also, we'll get additional state funding for increasing our fares, and then also some of the fare revenue itself. Maybe we'll all be
right. But not, right. It's not like one's the silver bullet.
It's not like one's the silver bullet. Yeah. And then again, this is the utilization of the fixed route. And see, these are what I talked about was the 0.3 miles. These are those what we call exclusion zones, or I call fixed route only zone. You can see these are the areas. And we're not going to be like hard and fast, like if you're like, well, there was like a tree or a giant building in my way and I have to walk 5 miles to get around that building to get to the bus stop. You know, we're going to work with people to make that work. And the part of fixed route system, we've really spent the last couple years making a lot of changes to make it better. Since I came on a couple years ago as the director of planning, we went through an entire planning process to make upgrades to our fixed route system. Now people are waiting only 30, 45 minutes for buses on regular intervals. So average bus comes every 30 to 45 minutes on a clock-based schedule. The fares for fixed route are not changing. So you're only paying $1 to ride the bus or $2 all day. If you're disabled or a senior, you're only paying 50 cents. We have our spot PARTA system, if you're not familiar with that, but you can actually track your bus in real time online with your cell phone. We have the Kent Central Gateway, if you haven't been to it downtown. It's a really great transit center. We have most of our buses that are hubbing in and out of there right now, or we have a second hub location, which is UH out of Ravenna. And you can transfer for free at either one of those locations. We have services available to Cleveland or Akron. We've made all of our schedules easier and simpler to read a couple years ago. And we've also updated our website to make that simpler as well. And starting this summer, we are going to be launching our new CNG facility with two CNG buses that we have on hand, with two more expected to be delivered this year. So we have four CNG buses. So as I said, none of these fixed route fares are changing. They're also all remain at a low fare.
It's crazy that your Akron Express is only $1.
It's only $1.
That's crazy.
So, and I will let Carlisle talk about this in a couple minutes, but we have a lot of travel training that's available. Help, this is free to anybody. So if anybody needs to learn how to ride, I will let him, I'm going to let him go through his spiel. But so the major components, we'll have fewer buses during the day, but we will go for longer hours and more days. We'll have smaller fuel efficient vehicles that we've been ordering. We're reallocating days. We're migrating able individuals to fixed route, and we're adjusting the fares of 1998. So we hope with all of this, we'll be able to sustain DART for a longer time, better utilize our fixed route, and provide affordable, viable transportation. So this was my public comment. So does anybody have questions about the DART changes? What DART is, why we're changing it.
Sorry, I don't know why I find this so interesting. But so, it's the eastern part of the county,
mm-hmm.
gets more, they're available more days, basically, than the western part? Is that right? Was that Monday through Saturday?
The west is Monday.
Get the most.
Okay, so the rural part is getting the Monday, Wednesday.
Right, and they don't get it as often just because the population is not as high.
Right,
so
it doesn't
warrant it. But the catch is if you're on a contract, like with Jobs and Family Services or Coleman or
DD, you get it no matter.
5 days, you will get it all 6 days.
Oh, really? Okay.
All the time.
Okay, so it only applies to sort of the general, in a way, the general public.
It's only general public that has to abide towards that.
Okay.
We provide full countywide for our contract service.
And when you look at that 0.3 mile, it's kind of interesting because it really does encompass like a lot of the Kent downtown and area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm assuming that's going to cover places that like doctor's offices or things where people maybe, like I would see that being the biggest thing that people would be like, well, wait.
So we do have some people who've called and they're like, well, what, you know, is this... They're asking about individual rides.
So we're starting
to get some of those.
Yeah.
Biggest questions we've gotten are cost.
Right.
People panicking about paying an extra dollar or whatever it's going to be. And then we've moved some people just to ADA because people are like, well, I can't walk this far.
Well then you should be
ADA. You should be registering for ADA.
Right.
And who have never registered for ADA before because they never really had to or they just paid the extra dollar.
Right.
And our fare was always the same before for ADA and dial ride.
Okay.
Now we have a delineation between the two.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you collecting fares?
You have to buy tickets or passes.
Like online or over the phone, and
yes.
then the driver just sees the app, so they're not actually carrying cash or have one of those old style
mm-hmm.
cash.
Yeah. On a positive note, does anybody else have more questions about DART?
Is the hospital the big hospital north of Ravenna?
Robinson.
Yeah, it was Robinson. Now it's
UH. Okay.
And we have a pretty big shelter transport point there. So we have several of our buses that kind of hub into that point. Because we had there wasn't a lot of service in Ravenna about a year or so ago, and we started running more service in Ravenna. So a lot of, Wyndham can connect into there, Ravenna connects in there, and you can come over from Kent to Ravenna. So one thing we are doing that it wasn't on the agenda, but I'm going to throw it in last minute. It's crazy. one thing we are offering this summer with SARTA, Metro and PARTA is called our Free Fare Fridays campaign. So every Friday in July and August, you could ride any of our fixed routes at no cost. And this is in all three. It's any of our fixed routes except the Cleveland Express. So you can ride our Akron Express. You can ride any of the local routes. And this gives people really a chance to try any of our routes. Try going from one county to the other, go to local destinations. We're going to be promoting some different destinations of the week. And it's just, it's a great promotion. We did it last year. We thought it was pretty successful. We're bringing it back again. It falls under the umbrella of what this NEO ride is. It's a council of governments that was formed by PARTA, SARTA, and Metro. And so we're doing it, again, to kind of show the ease of moving between the free transit. The idea behind NEO ride is to try and make it easier for people to move between the three counties. We understand people don't just live within county borders. So we have been trying to look for ways to make transit easier and mobility easier between the three counties. So one of the things we've done is this joint marketing campaign for Free Fare Fridays. So we're working on promoting it. It will be kicking off, like I said, in July. We also do a ride patrol where people, I say me and Carlisle, get on the bus and give out free prizes. We give out gift cards and free bus passes and whatever stuff we can find around the office and kind of promote transit. So I have these. We have more signs and stuff like that. We'll be promoting it on our website and everything. Let people know that they can ride for free. This does not apply to DART because I just explained how expensive it is. Only to our fixed route. So I'll let Carlisle talk a little bit about his travel training. And
thank you.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So my name is Carlisle Howard, as Catherine was saying. I'm the travel trainer at PARTA, and usually the first question I get from that is, what is a travel trainer? So I'll answer that for you here today, and I'll go over a little bit about what I do. Most transit agencies do have a travel training department. What we do, we're kind of like the community outreach people. We are here to basically help make our transit agencies more understanding to the general public. A lot of what I do actually takes place in this room here or at the Ravenna Library. I try to hold monthly sessions just to the open general public for people to step in and walk in if they want to know more about PARTA or if they just want to kind of rant about it. They usually rant about it sometimes too. And after they complete what we call a travel training class, if they do it for the first time, I'll give them a free 10-ride pass. So that's usually a good initiative to get some people to come out. I also do different fairs where I just try to get PARTA's name out in the community. So we will set up a table at an event and give away some things and just talk to people about our services or routes or anything like that. And I find that's been a good way to reach out to the community, and a lot of people come by the table and, you know, share whatever it may be or ask questions, and that's really helpful to them. I do different staff trainings as well. A lot of the agencies around here I try to go to as much as possible, also senior centers or senior living places, just so they're up to date with information, and they, especially for agencies, that they have our schedules and informational materials so that they can be handing out the correct information to a lot of people. In rare cases, I do get to do a one-on-one session, is what I like to call it. There's two different types of one-on-one sessions. There are people who want to know about Portage County. They just moved to the county, and they want to figure out how the buses work. Usually, when I offer my services, I'll say, hey, we can go around and ride the routes together. We can take a couple laps on certain routes, and they kind of maybe sigh or kind of a long pause. So the other option I'll give them is if there's a public place that we can meet near them. So I've met at McDonald's, I've met at Taco Bell's, and I would sit there when we're at Taco Bell, and I'll spread out everything that they would need to know about PARTA. We'll just talk about it then. And some people like that a little bit better. For example, tomorrow I get up early at 6 a.m. There's a person who starts a brand new job on Monday, and they just moved to Portage County. They don't have a car. They don't know where they're going. And I said, well, we got tomorrow to try to get you ready for Monday. So we're going to get the first bus out in the morning, and she actually accepted the offer to ride around, so we're going to ride around for a couple hours. I'll, of course, make sure her first few rides are free, and also give her a 10-ride pass so that she's prepared for the next following week of work. So that's a lot of what I do. I also try to help out as much as I can with our scheduling department. Those are the people that pretty much handle everyone who are they're registering for reduced fare or ADA. A lot of people also need their photos updated and they can't make it into the office. So they'll knock on my cube and say, hey, can you go and do that? And I'll make sure I take care of that information too. So it's kind of all over the place, but it is a really great good position. And we have these flyers here if you'd like to take some. I try to place these everywhere I can just because it just is simple. It says learning how to ride as easy as 1, 2, 3. And travel training is here to help. It's free. And we always mention that free 10-ride pass, so people really like the idea of that. So that's most of what I do. This next slide here is just showing how we usually have different classes scheduled. I usually try to go at a local location near a fixed route, so usually Kent and Ravenna are my main two places. I also try to go further out in the county. I've been very unsuccessful with that so far. Not very many people showed up. I went to Streetsboro and Aurora and a few other places, and I've gotten no one. I usually get one or two people here or Ravenna, but especially since we had the changes in July, I wanted to make sure that we hit kind of heavy in this area and also the Ravenna area, because these are going to be the people who are most affected. The people who are really close to a fixed route, and they won't be able, if they're general public, to use the DART service just within this exclusionary zone. So it's been very successful. There's been a lot of people who were confused about things, you know, the telephone game and how that works. So I've been able to clear up some people's minds and help them be a little bit more relaxed about the changes that are going to be happening in July. So that's my gist there. Any questions about?
Yes, sir. Carl, do you guys have the ability to do the bikes, get bikes on the
yep. So we could fit. We have bike racks on every single big bus. Be able to fit two at a time on that.
I feel like I could.
Yeah,
intimidates me. I'd be scared to. Has anyone ever? I mean,
people use it.
I know people use it. I always feel like, how do you know? The first time you walk up there, you're holding up a fixed route bus.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to do it right. Right.
Right.
I've always thought that. I mean, I think Metro might even have like a video on it, but it didn't make me feel any better. This was a while ago.
You have a video on bike racks.
Yeah. But I always thought that was sort of one of those interesting things.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, they're actually really easy, and they hold on.
The baby stroller fit on the front of the bus.
Not on the front. You fit that in the bus.
Yeah.
Do people care? I mean, I guess I'm curious. What do you think is in your experience so far? What do you think has been most people's biggest obstacle? Is it just really just a lack of fundamental understanding? Is
they're afraid they're going to get lost?
Is that really what it is? It mostly, yeah. Really, they just
there's
afraid.
There's a lot of numbers, there's one bus that can take you one side or into Stowe,
right,
out to Hiram. So people are like, oh, I don't want to get on the.
They're almost afraid they're going to be like the man that never returns, right, or get on a bus and not come back, sort
exactly.
of thing. Huh.
Yeah.
Are the bus drivers not friendly to ask questions?
With like Google Transit, I think that's helpful because I'm a planner and I'm. Seriously, like, directionally challenged. But, like, Google Transit will literally just tell you, like, get on here, get off
right.
here, get
right.
on here.
Yeah.
Like, and I need that in my life.
It's gotten a lot easier from that perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, with our app, mm-hmm. you have the spot part, there's a plan a trip function where it does exactly what Catherine was saying,
yeah.
too.
Now, does your spot part up? Is that actually like a GPS, or is that more just gives you the time? Like, you can go on there and actually see where the bus is, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's GPS.
And Metro doesn't have that, right? Like, Metro's, oh, they do now?
Because
I thought you had to text at Metro, and they tell you when the bus, okay. So you got the GPS now, too. Okay.
So if you were to pull up a route on our map, could actually, once it loads, it takes a couple seconds for the bus to show. There we go.
There's a bus.
There's a bus. And they'll move along as we talk or plot.
Yeah.
You can click along the dots, and it'll tell you, you know, the next time that bus is going to be at that particular bus stop. So.
Wow.
I try to show people
like
this.
If the bus would break down, it would just stop moving.
Yeah.
So you can do that with the app, but then obviously for people who don't have smartphones, there's the texting feature too. So people can always text a particular bus stop.
Yeah.
It'll tell them
when the next time is.
And we actually put in on our schedule the numbers on each bus stop. So if you didn't know the number of the bus stop, it's on the schedule.
Yeah.
Somebody asked for that once at one of our community meetings.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so we did it.
Yeah, you know what you're going to watch tonight? You're going to binge watch Parter Rats.
Wow. I mean, how that goes. You should really try out the Netflix thing.
Yeah. Any other questions for me at all?
My other question would be, do you find that most people that are coming, are they more tech savvy now than, you know, or do you still kind of get more of the person that...
I never try to assume.
Yeah.
But mostly all people that I've travel trained have a smartphone.
Yeah.
And I'm always kind of surprised sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's even with the elderly I travel to, like, you know, there's a texting feature or the app. But,
they'll pull their iPhone.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But we do get a lot of I think text is probably still our high amount of
Yeah, we get a lot of people texting. I mean, huge numbers on that. And even when we got the smartphone, I mean, I think we've had over 5,000 downloads of the app a little over a year. Carl always tells everybody to download the app.
Sure.
So he's been really good at promoting that.
That's very cool.
And this works on all the routes there at Kent State, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kent State is a huge, I mean, they probably were banging on our door for years going, when are we going to get this? When's it coming?
Yeah, how long have you had it?
2 years?
2 years, October 12th.
Yeah.
Because I remember when you guys were kind of doing the rollout, you had all those dogs.
We still use the dogs
thing. With all the squishy dogs and butts and my girls.
Yeah, Greg loves the dog.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say our office is a dog office.
Yeah.
Always dogs or puppies, like live dogs or puppies
live
in our
dogs.
Office. Not kidding.
Not dead ones.
No. I'm not just saying pictures. Like people bring.
Right.
I brought in my puppy.
You should bring in a stuffed one.
Yeah. People just love dogs at Parta, so it really worked for us.
Yeah. It's cute. I mean, it's cute.
Not everybody gets Wyatt's spot, but.
Right.
People like the dog anyway.
Yeah, there isn't actually an acronym for it. Is
spot
the bus?
Spot, like spot, yeah, like look, spot,
yeah, so see part of that, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense, and spot is like the quintessential dog name.
Right.
What's the ghost image of the bus there at Brady Lake?
You know, I never figured that out.
The bus.
Sometimes there's a ghost bus that goes through there, but we only have two buses on the 35, and one's up at Ravenna, and one's almost at the Gateway.
A ghost bus.
So it'll go to Gateway, and then it'll turn back eastbound.
Yeah, it makes a pretty, like, it's a big L. Straight shot down 59, makes a left right in the middle of downtown Ravenna there, and it goes to UH.
The little kink there, that's the Walmart, the apartment complex.
Yep.
Yeah,
this is Walmart over here. And then this is Campus Point Apartments and Gateway.
Now, the bus up by the hospital, is that one, does it sit for a little? I mean,
yeah.
Is that normal?
What's nice about the 30 and the 35, we have two buses on each. So they're able to run every 30 minutes, which is nice. So. If they got there a little bit early, they have to wait at the hospital. That's one of their waiting spots.
Okay.
But if someone were to miss that bus within 30 minutes, the next one would be there, which is it's really handy. Before Catherine was here, this bus would go from downtown University Hospital. It'll go all the way to Stowe and just make a really long lap. And if that bus went down, then a lot of people are waiting probably for an hour or so.
Yeah, I had that happen once when I made, all right, I'm already parked at Kent. If I stay the full time, I get the total value. I got to run this errand. Let me take HARDA, and I ended up spending a lot of time at the stop. So this was pre-app and pre-35-minute service.
Pre-cap.
If you look at the plan a trip feature, if you click on that, this is the feature I was kind of talking about. You can put in your departing location, and then wherever it is you want to go to. And it even could be out of county if you want to. I mean, you could be going to Chapel Hill Mall.
Who goes to Chapel?
Nobody anymore. Yep. And then it'll tell you what buses you need to take, what time you need to leave by, and there's options. And like how far you're going to have to walk. It's very similar. It's basically Google Maps.
Yeah.
Total time, total walking.
All that.
The total time it'll take you to get there, what time you get there. Give you step-by-step information.
Yep.
Which, I mean, and this is not an insult to PARTA at all, but it also does just show the challenge of getting, you know, of getting, I mean, the amount of time difference if we got in our car now and drove to Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
You know, versus,
right.
I mean, it's
this
just...
This might not be the optimal transit trip.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, for somebody that needs to go there, it's kind of always interesting. Oh, on the DART system, do you go out of county on that?
We do not.
So that just is strictly from a county, in-county point
to county only.
County
point. But if you do it through JFS, they have out-of-county providers.
Yeah.
We're in discussions to do things like that, okay. But not currently.
Very cool.
Catherine,
yes.
What is the budget for this per year?
For SPOT?
Because you have to have all the connections. It's not just the web service.
Right. I don't know what our maintenance costs are on it. I don't know. I mean, I know that we got like a grant to do the initial setup and all that, like the original infrastructure, but I don't know what our yearly maintenance costs are on it.
Well, and some of the technology, right, is obviously stuff that was put on the bus, right? I mean, the GPS part of it.
Yeah.
It's not just the internet.
Right, it's not just the software. Yeah,
it's
all the hardware.
All the
bus. Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it. And that kind of gets us to our open discussion before adjournment. We do have about 15 or so minutes if... those of you who are interested in anything that you want to bring to the table. So, yeah, by all means.
The next regular meeting is not until September. Any possibility of sudden, as needed, meetings could come up in July or August?
It's not anticipated, no.
Okay. Get the summer off.
Yeah, and honestly, sometimes we wouldn't do a June meeting because we always have May. Sometimes we wouldn't do a June and we do a July. And what we found is that it's actually better to do a June because, as you saw with the amendments we had today, we're trying to get them in before the end of the fiscal year, so the June meeting just works better. And then we'll, you know, our September, usually we have a pretty full load, a full plate of stuff in September for the summer. But we also have a lot of our membership is, you know, on vacations and things like that. So it's a good time to take a respite.
So the meeting will be at a location to be announced.
Yeah.
Probably back
most
at the library.
Most likely it'll be back at the library.
Okay, and we'll start
for the next room.
Yep. Sure. And we'll stay at the 6:30 time.
Yes.
Well, I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce in Cuyahoga Falls. Yes, I am. But everything should be based on money. So I'm looking at that map there, and I'm thinking, well, Hiram's up there. College students normally don't have a lot of money, but they can save up for things. And what if PARTA, and I don't know what the rules are on this, but they were to designate a Saturday noon bus as the Rays Place run, coming from Hiram down to Kent or to allow shopping in a local area.
Those students.
And shopping in Kent and eating at Ray's place and getting on the bus going home at 6 on Saturday.
Well, we do have a resident at Hiram during the week.
Well, I'm just saying, but you get more people by advertising it as a Ray's place run. Or in Ravenna, there used to be a really good, cheap supermarket. And, of course, college students want to have cheap food. So
we have a bus that goes to Aldi's, Walmart,
Marks.
And you could link over from Hiram to get there.
I'm just saying, but you label it. You make it. It's called advertising. You call it the AWM Ravenna Run. Aldi's, Walmart, Marks. And it's a special run for the college students. They know they can get down there. You got so much time to shop at each place and get back. And that would increase your passenger count. But I don't know how you could dovetail a run like that into an existing route to say, okay, we'll drop you off and we'll come back and pick you up here the time you got to be here. Mm-hmm. But it would be an advertising gig. Just naming it. By naming it, you generate some interest in, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
$6? Is that one way or both ways?
You're talking about the demand response, the DART route.
You had a bus going from Hiram to Kent.
Right.
Is that $6 round trip or $6 each way?
Demand response, it's $6 one way, but those are people who call individually to book a ride. Yeah. Fixed route, if we do have fixed route buses that do similar routes to that now, and that's $2 round trip.
Oh, that'd be great for college. I'm thinking of a way of advertising the bus route, getting a certain group to go.
Right.
Well, the routes are already free for Kent State students, right?
Yeah, but not for Hiram. Hiram doesn't have Kent State has a contract with BARTA, but Hiram does not.
Right. We're from Kent out to all these Walmart Marks for shopping to get them out of the.
I don't know.
To get them off the Kent State campus, go shopping, and come be able to come back. They have a fixed route. They know what time they got to be there, what time they're going to come back.
We do meet with all the incoming freshmen at Kent State, and I think Carlisle does that. We talk about their
orientation days.
Yes.
Here's the routes, okay? Hey, we have all these Walmart Marks run every Friday at 4:30. You go shopping Friday night. You're home by 8.
Have like the Bob Marley route.
Right.
That's up.
Yeah. All right.
Any other comments?
The meeting next week for policy is on Tuesday.
Correct. Yeah.
And to get something on the agenda there, that needs to be done well in advance. Or
something on the agenda or to be
a discussion item. Yeah, I can do the public speaking. We've still got that lingering issue with the abandonment up in Portage County. I understand the city's making a move, according to a newspaper article that I haven't actually read yet. To purchase the lawn. And,
City of Aurora?
Yeah, maybe I could actually be there and meet the mayor and publicly speak on the subject and stir up a little bit of discussion.
As long as you come before the meeting and request your...
Last time I made the mistake of working on the farm and I lost it. I arrived late. I even missed the mayor. I think I passed her coming out the door as I came in. It was a quick meeting.
Yeah, a lot of times it's their new service director. I can't remember his name, but he's been there the last few times. We haven't seen
Warner. All right, I'll have to. I might stop up and I think it's her and see at Aurora and just make an appointment and handle that. Losing that railroad is the wrong thing to do for the future, hopefully we can preserve it. Also, I'm working on a map correction project, and I haven't looked at the Summit County map lately. There's some inaccuracies on the railroads here in Portage County. Who's your map engineer over at AMATS, or do you have a...
Seth Bush makes our maps.
Seth?
Seth, yeah.
All right.
But he, we, I mean, I don't, I'd be curious.
Would he be able to share some data with, and we could double check with Jason Copeland over here in Portage County?
Yeah, probably. And he, I think he knows Jason too.
Okay. So if I can, we can make a three-way correspondence there to make things sure things get correct, and then maybe even work with ODOT. This was a couple years ago. We had Amtrak going through Talmadge, which I thought was a bit unusual. But that's how the map showed for like 2 years.
Yeah, I would say just, I mean, his email is on the site, but it's, well, you know how to get to our website. You
right,
can
find
something. Yes,
I
his contact
info. I'll call and go to Horting. I'm going to have a meeting with Jason next week. They're going to be doing a new map here in Portage County later this year, early next year.
Is that via the commissioner's office, that map?
Yeah, the engineer's office.
Oh, the engineer's office. That's Mickey's map.
Marazzi.
Marazzi, yeah, yeah. Mickey. Yeah.
And then if anyone needs one, I do have an extra Ohio Rail map that I brought along. Hmm. And that's just one of the projects I'm working on. If I could work with your GIS guy, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if I can make it there on Tuesday, I'll do so.
Sounds good. All right, well, I'd like to thank Carlisle and Catherine for coming, and again, our citizens for attending, and hope everyone has a nice, enjoyable evening.